Okay, so when they asked me to share, I was like, I kind of like Bob was reading the email to me, and he says, "Oh, honey, I think they want you to share." And I remember saying, "Oh, okay." And I just have to say that I really believe that when God gives you an opportunity to share about Christ in any possible way, that you have to say yes. That unless you're, going to be someplace else, you really have no excuse. So you have to, when God gives you those opportunities, just take them and just say yes. Okay, Lord, what is it that you want me to say for you? And so I am just so thankful to be here this morning. Many of you know that we have been missionaries. Well, some of you maybe do not know. We were missionaries in Papua New Guinea for quite a few years. But just so that you know, our heart is for the unreached people groups. That is what we have been working for all of these years. But more than anything, my heart is for God. And I think that that is the thing that continues to drive me. When I was in college, well, first of all, when I was in Hawaii, I am Hawaiian, Chinese, Portuguese. I think that's really important for you because a lot of people, when I go places, they're like, "What is she?" And most people think I'm like Filipino or, Thai or maybe even Indian. But I am Hawaiian, Chinese, Portuguese, and I grew up in Hawaii. And we went to a little church that was planted by missionaries, get this, from Minnesota and New Jersey. I mean, go figure. They came to the islands and they planted this church. And because of that, our church was very, very much focused on missions. And so as a child, we had missionaries in our church often. And so as a little child, I was aware that there were people outside of the islands that didn't know Christ. And I think that that is very important for families to expose their children to missions and be exposed to missions at a young age so that they can, as they're growing up and deciding what they want to do with their life, being a missionary is a really good idea. That's a good option, So I'm thankful for my parents and the fact that they raised us in a church and exposed us to missions. When I went to college, our RA asked us this question. He said, "When you go to heaven and stand before Christ, he's going to ask you, 'What did you do for me when you were on the earth?'" And I remember at the time thinking, wow, And in my mind, I kept listing all the things. Well, I was a good kid, didn't sass my parents, did well in school, got good grades. I think I got a Bible every summer for memorizing the most verses and on about the good things. And then she stopped us and she said, "How much more exciting it would be, how much more rewarding it would be if you could stand before Christ and say, 'Lord, because I was willing to let you use my life, there is one other person in heaven enjoying your presence.'" And that for me, that was something that God really used for me to focus on missions in more of a personal way. And so I think from then on, I just continued from my childhood and then on in college, thinking, okay, this is what I want to do with my life. I want to be a missionary. But it took me a little while to come to the place of being really able to say that scary word. "Lord, I want to be a missionary" is great, but I needed to be able to say wherever. Because I'm an only daughter, I have three brothers, and my parents at this point were living in Washington State. So I was thinking in my little sinful, conniving way, "Oh, well, maybe I can be a missionary in Mexico, because then they can come and see me. Or at least South America, a lot quicker, easier to get to." And the Lord just really spoke to my heart. You can be a missionary, but it has to be wherever. And that was a real struggle for me. It really was. And thank God I was able to say that word and just the peace that passes understanding. 2 weeks later, I met my husband. And Bob was already signed up, ready to go to the ends of the earth. And I just knew that God had brought us together, and this was going to be my path. And it's really interesting. My parents, they didn't really know a lot about like missions, and I mean they understood it. You know, you support people and all of this, but that was a really big step for them to actually say yes. You can go overseas and you can go. Because when Bob went to my parents, he said, okay, I love your daughter, but I love God more. And I'm going to be a missionary. And we are going to go to the ends of the earth. But if she's not willing to do this, then it is over. And as much as my parents, I know it was really hard for them, but I really am so thankful for God and the Spirit of God that worked in their hearts to get my dad to say yes. And you know why he said yes? We said yes. Mom and I said yes because we knew that because Bob loved God with all his heart, that he was going to love you with all his heart too. And you were going to be okay. And that was for them an assurance because they knew at that point, you know, we were going to be separated for a long time. And so I'm really thankful for my parents and for that decision because if my parents would have said no, it would have been no. I would have said, okay, that's it. But I'm so, so thankful. So we went to Papua New Guinea, and I just want to say that what God asked me to do was something that I would never have done. Seriously, like to go to the jungle. Here I was at 24 years old in the middle of the jungle, and we had gone through schooling, and we had had lots of training to do this, to learn languages. We had, you know, we were really good students in linguistics, so we had it all down. But here I was in the middle of the jungle, and at 24 with a two-year-old, and our little Christy was 3 months old, and it took us at that point 10 hours to get on the river to get home if everything went right, and usually it didn't. But I realized then that God was the only person, the only one that could help me at that point. And I just have to say that the most important thing that God did for me was that when I made that commitment to Jesus Christ, it was all about, okay, Lord, I love you with all my heart. I believe that this is what you have for my, this is your plan for my life. And your plan, you have given Bob to me. I believe with all my heart that God, when he created both of us, he created us for each other. And he said, I believe that Bob and Obi can glorify me as a couple better than separate. And so that's why he brought us together. And I believe that. And I knew that going to the middle of the jungle was God's will for my life. There was no question. I wasn't there just because my husband chose Papua New Guinea. I went to Papua New Guinea because I knew that that's where God had sent me. And God made sure that that was so clear in my heart because he knew that things were going to get really, really hard. Like, it was really, really hard. But never once in all of those difficult situations and hardships, never once did I ever think, okay, this is too hard. I can't do this. We got to go. I can't do this anymore. I'm going home. Get me out of this. Never once did I ever think that. And the only reason I could say that is because I knew that I was where God wanted me to be. And I think that's so important. That wherever you are, if you are sure that that is where God wants you to be, if that is God's plan for your life, then when hard times come, you can hold on to that. And whatever it takes, you can persevere because that's where God wants you to be. And to be anywhere else, even to be home with my parents, you know, surrounded by wonderful people and the luxuries of America, I would never be happy because I would definitely be away and outside of God's will. So I think that that is really important. The one verse that God gave to me that I cling to now is, and lo, I am with you always. And I hung on to that. And I think that studying God's word and hiding God's word in your heart is so, so important. That's something that we have to do always. Because when those hard situations came up, you know, it was there. it was there. And of course, we always have our word that we can go to, but I think Bible memorization and knowing God's word in your heart, it's just like the Holy Spirit, you know, brings those to our minds a lot quicker. So I think that that's something that's very important. This summer, June 16th, Bob and I will be married 45 years. And I just have to just stand before you and say, I am so thankful to God for his choice of a man. I'm so thankful that God created us for each other, because I believe that we have a wonderful marriage. We have an excellent marriage. But I tell you this, it's not because we haven't had hardships. It's not because we haven't gone through difficult times. But I believe God has just blessed, because we made that commitment to God when we came together. Okay, we're going to do whatever it takes to be that picture of Christ in the church. Isn't that what marriage is? To be the picture of Christ in the church, whatever it takes. And too bad you don't get to know me, but I can be really stubborn and I can be very strong-willed. And I have a wonderful husband. He is just a nice person. He's like really sweet. He's very kind, and he's very merciful. I'm so sad that you don't get to know that, but take my word for it. He is the sweetest and kindest person, and I am definitely not like that, not all the time, but God in his grace has just brought us together, and I believe that God brought us together because he knows that we could bring more glory to him together. I think that God has used us and used me in spite of that. And I think over the years, because of my husband, I've become more merciful, more gracious, you know, and I think that's pretty cool. So anyways, all that to say is that I have learned a lot. So I stand before you not because I know everything. I stand before you because I want to share with you things that I wish I would have known when I was so young like you. Like when I went to the field, I didn't know a lot of things. Thankfully, I knew the most important thing, that I had God and I was in the right place. And I think that in my study of the word, I wasn't as, you know, mature at that point, but I had that. But I would love it. I would love it if you could listen and hear the things that I want to tell you, because I'm telling you, they're very, very important. I had a good relationship with my mom, but it wasn't like we could just sit down and she could really disciple me and walk me through some of those different, you know, attitudes and hardships, whatever. But I just pray that some of my mistakes that I've made, my difficult situations, as I share with that, these things with you, I just want you to be encouraged that God is enough. God can help us through those different situations. So anyways, just so you know, I'm not talking about marriage this morning. I'm just talking about being a woman of God, because I think that's what we want to focus on, right? Because it doesn't, I think that the things that I want to share with you are things that, like as women, we need to know and we need to think about. And, I believe that there are some specific things that we as women need to remind ourselves about. And I'm saying this is because these are some of the things I have to tell myself almost every day. Number one, you know, when God created a woman, he created Eve in as a helpmeet for Adam, right? But God created woman, okay? Ladies, that is a pretty awesome thought. We have been created in the image of God. Like, think about that. That is pretty cool. Like, as far as, like, feeling, you know, insecure, whatever, you know, I'm sure we all have our own lists, you know. We have been created in the image of God. And sometimes just that thought, just that reminder can really lift us up and to just feel so loved and accepted. Think about it. The creator of the universe created us, and he knows us by name. And sometimes when I'm in some of my lowest spots, feeling like so alone, I think to myself, Nobi, God knows me. God knows me. Out of the millions of people in this earth, He knows me. And He doesn't just know me. He knows my name. He knows what I'm thinking. He knows right now what you're going through. So be encouraged with that thought. We have been created by the image of God. In Isaiah 43, it says that we have been created to bring glory to God. Okay, that's why we're here, girls. That is the only reason. We have been created by God. Cool. But the only reason God created us, sorry, but the only reason He created us was to bring glory to God. That's why we're here. And so the question is, so how are we going to do that? How are we going to do that? Okay, now we all know Proverbs 31, right? Okay, so here was the mom writing to King Lemuel and giving him some of the good characteristics of finding a wife, okay? Now, if you read through that chapter, pretty awesome stuff, right? I mean, this lady was pretty amazing. I mean, just think of this, okay? An excellent, virtuous woman, okay? More precious, okay? These are some of the things that you're going to find when you read Proverbs 31. Does good, not harm, works with her hands, works hard, capable, strong, homemaker, multitask, speaks with wisdom, caring, not lazy, makes family proud. And the list is just pretty incredible. She's a pretty cool person. But you know what? The end of that, those verses, it says, a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. So at the end of the day, and you know what? When you read through that, I think that for the most part, I think most of us, I just listened to Amy the other day and all the things that she has to do. She probably could, she could probably qualify for all of these qualities in Proverbs 31. You know, a lot of us, God has, believe it or not, it seriously, know that. You guys are pretty awesome people. I mean, remember who created us. You're able to do all these things, not because of who you are, but because of who you are in Christ. Okay, so this is, I was talking to some ladies and they were like discouraged because it was like, oh, I can't, you know, some of those qualities I just don't have. Well, you know, be encouraged, you really do. But the most important thing, it doesn't matter how capable you are in this or that or your abilities, we're all different. You know, we're all different. We excel in some and some people excel more in other ways, but you know, it's just a beautiful picture of the body of Christ. But at the end of the day, that doesn't really matter, right? All that matters is that we fear God and that we love God. Okay, in Matthew and in Mark, I believe it says, you know, they asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? We know what it is, right? We know what Jesus said. What was it? To love the Lord with all your heart. You know, and the topic they gave me was about the role, the ministries of women. That's what it is. To love the Lord with all your heart. Because we've been created by God. We've been created to glorify God. And how do we do that? We love Him with all our heart. And now we figure out, how are we going to do that? How are we going to do that? And when I went to the field, I wanted to be a good missionary. I wanted to be a great missionary. And I believe that God had brought us there. I believe that a lot of the people needed us to learn the language quickly, to build those relationships so that we would be able to earn the right to speak to them and to share Christ. And so I worked my butt off. Seriously. I worked hard. And I gave it everything I could. But it was to the neglect. It got to the point where it was to neglect of that relationship, like really building a closer relationship with God. Because I was ministering for God. I was doing all of these wonderful things, right? It was a good goal, right? Because we were there to preach the gospel and share Christ with them. And in order to do that, I had to get the language and I had to do this. And living in the jungle meant that just being a wife, like everyday things, just took a whole lot more time. it just did. You know, we went there with, we had a little generator that we would run at night just to charge our batteries. And I won't go into how, you know, what would you say? Maybe primitive you would think that our life was. But it really, I mean, okay. So I think about it now and I'm like, I did that? That's not even, you know, but it wasn't me. It was God. And I'm like, you know what? It really wasn't a big deal because I didn't have any choice. I lived in the middle of the jungle, and if we were going to eat anything, I had to make it, you know, from everything, you know, everything. I had to do it all, you know, and just living was a lot more difficult than it was before I got there. Let's just put it that way. But you know what, girls, it wasn't a big deal. It really wasn't. And yeah, they talk about, like, you know, the snakes, the spiders, and all of the cockroaches. We lived in a bush house, you know, and you make do. It wasn't a big deal. What was a big deal was that in trying to work for God and doing all these good things and live for God and trying to be a good wife and a good mom, I forgot that I needed to continue that, building that relationship with Jesus Christ. And little by little, my devotions with God and my time with God was less and less, which seems really stupid, right? I mean, here I am trying to serve God and to minister for God, and I'm not being refreshed and continuing to be in the Word. So, big mistake. Make sure that your time with God is a priority in your life. And I got to tell you, 45 years later, it's still a priority. It still has to be a priority. And you would have think that after all those years, realizing that I can't do all this stuff on my own without Christ, I never not knew that. I never forgot that. But you would think that I would get it, right? But somehow, I don't know about you, but making your time in the Word, Satan doesn't want us to do it. He'll come up with every idea. And you know what? They're always good ideas. They're always good ideas why you don't need to spend time with God. And I just want to encourage you that your relationship with God is a time that you have to treasure. And I see you young, precious girls, if you can make that just so much a part of your life, time with God, devotions, time in the Word with God, just so much like a default that is just who you are, that will be the best thing you got going for you. That will change your life. That will make you successful. That will. And more than anything, that will bring glory to God. So remember, we're created in the image of God. And our goal is to bring glory to God. And the way that we do that is to be in His Word, to learn more and more about how we can be honoring to God. So fearing God is something that we have to always be thinking about. Okay. So some of my favorite passages or books in the Bible give us wonderful examples of how we can bring glory to God, right? And it's probably your favorite too. I know it's Maya's because on her wall in her house, she has some of my favorite verses. Well, one favorite verse, too, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And on her wall, it lists the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? Amazing. Okay? Think about this. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do you know what? Girls, if we can trust God to make this a part of our life, we are women of God that truly bring glory to Him. When we learn to love one another, whoever it is, when we learn to have that peace that passes all understanding in situations where my heart is just in turmoil and just so uptight. When we learn to reach out to people, I mean, the list is pretty, I don't think we can ever exhaust this, right? There's always times, opportunities, and I really believe that God's word is saying, okay, do you want to bring glory to me? Then be this. Be this for my children, our roommates, for our teachers, for whoever I bring into your life. I think that's the thing that we need to know and remember, and I need to really understand what that really means. No, B, it's not about you. Self is such a killer, you know, because you want to be the best that you can, and so you're always focusing on how you're gonna, that's gonna be possible. And I have to always remind myself, it's not about you. It's about what God wants to do. But I really believe that God's word gives us good, not simple, not easy, simple things, simple ways for us to bring glory to him. After I got married, I read all of these books about marriage, about women and their roles. And God has blessed women with these incredible insights about, you know, like, I don't know if you wouldn't remember because half of you weren't even born when this book was written, but they had this book, The Total Woman, and it was comical, actually, the things that they were, you know, saying, okay, this is how you're going to, you know, be that perfect wife for your, but, you know, there's books out there. There's books about everything. You know that. We know the best book that we have is God's Word. That's the best book. But you know what? It's like some of these books, we like them because they have really good insights. But usually they kind of give us, you know, it's almost like, okay, you do this and then this will happen. You know, you do this and this will happen. You know, and they're great. But God is saying, ladies, love me with all your heart. And with that love, you love others. You be joyful. You radiate peace. You have patience. It's beautiful. And there we are. We're learning to bring glory to God. And I think it's amazing. And it's so wonderful. And it's really simple. God's word is the answer for everything. Our village, our Besodios, when we gave them God's word, the title of our Bible is Gode Bi. God's words. That's what it's translated. And it's so true. And our people love God's word. It's like in Jeremiah, they eat God's word. Granted, they only have one book. They only have the Bible to read. When we were teaching them to read, because we had to give them a written language, we wrote all of these like practice books about malaria and about, you know, animals of the world and all of these different things, basically to get them to practice reading. And we spent money on these. We had to get them printed. We had to get them shipped into the tribe. You know what? They rotted on the shelves because our people were like, we don't want to read this. This isn't going to change our life. We don't care about animals of the world. You know, we don't care about these little stories. And they get it, okay? Can you imagine? We're talking about primitive people. Now, I'm using that word like that's what they are, okay? Some people might be offended by that. But our headhunters, the Sodio people, they get it. That when they came to Christ, they understood that all they needed was God's word. That's all they needed. That was the thing that was going to change their life. That was the thing that was going to help them to be more and more like Jesus. And I'm always so humbled when we go back and visit them and hear their testimonies. And I'm just like in shame because I'm just like, oh, that's so, I know that. But why is it that I put all these other things, you know, in front of those things? And I just am so, so blessed by their testimony. One of my other favorite passages in God's word is 1 Corinthians 13. We all know that, right? Love is patient. Love is kind. There again, a lot of the characteristics from Galatians 5. But ladies, I just got to tell you, I think that these are two of the very important chapters that for some reason women have a really hard time with. I'm only saying that for myself, okay? Like, I don't know why it is, but I'm just so thankful that God put those commands in his word, and I think he did it for us. I'm sure he did it for our husbands too, but I think in my family he did it for us to learn a lot of these things, you know? So I would encourage you, you know, I don't know how, after this session, in a couple days, whatever, get before the Lord and just ask him, you know, take those verses. Maybe you've done this before, but you know what? If you've done it before, do it again and keep doing it, you know, and just say, okay, today, Lord, I'm going to work on being more loving. Simple. This week, I'm going to work to be more loving. Bring me situations in my life that'll cause me to be more loving to other people, to show love to other people. Bring those situations, bring those people in my life that you want me to show love to, okay? Because I want to glorify you. And I think that in doing that and learning to do that, I can become more like Jesus, and you will be more honored, acknowledging that that's why I'm here in the first place, God. It's not about me, and it's all about you. So just a little challenge for you. Like I said, my husband is very gracious. And of course, in our family, when our girls got to be in teenagers, thankfully, our girls were pretty easy. You know, we didn't have really hard times, you know, with them. But, I mean, you know, girls will be girls. And usually when there was a little bit of conflict, it was never mom that took care of it. It was always dad, you know. And it seemed like during this one session of their high school years, there was a few more conflicts, you know, the boys, all this kind of stuff. And Bob was traveling more as a consultant, helping other missionaries there. And we went through a little period of time where I was so thankful for him and his wisdom and his graciousness. He had to go on a trip, and he was going to be gone for 2 weeks. And he knew that I was a little bit anxious about having to be, you know, be there at that time without him. And I took him to the airport, and he said to me, he said, "Honey, I just want you to know that you have everything in Christ to do this. You, in Christ, you are able to do this." And we know what that verse comes from, right? 2 Peter 1:3. "His divine power has granted us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory." And the peace of God just passed this all understanding. And I was just so encouraged. And it was just another reminder, realizing that in Christ, ladies, we have everything we need to live godly lives. We do. In him, we have everything we need to bring glory to him. We have everything in Christ. But for some reason, sometimes we forget that, right? And life gets hard, and we make wrong choices, and things just don't go the way we want them to go. But we got to remember the command from God's word. He tells us so clearly, in him, we have everything we need. Like, listen to those words. His divine power. Divine power. Okay, this is the power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead. I mean, pretty incredible and pretty awesome, right? Pretty huge. Okay, this kind of power. In him, with that kind of power, he has given us in himself everything we need to lead godly lives. Everything we need to make those right choices. And that was such... That has always been such a huge encouragement to me, to know that in Christ, you know, when I struggle, and God knows that I've had some struggles, it's only because I forget those things. the end of those that verse is, through the knowledge of Him. And then we get back to what I shared earlier, knowing God, understanding God. And the only way that we can know God and understand God is to be in His Word. And I think that that is, you know what, being a woman of God is pretty awesome. And you know what, girls, we have no excuse. We have no excuse. No matter what our situation is, no matter what we go through, you know what, we have to understand that all of those things are ordained by God. So if He puts you through a difficult situation, it's not because, you know, He wants life to be miserable for you. He does not. He's not that kind of God. When He takes us through hard times, it's because He wants to show Himself faithful. He wants to help you bring glory to Him through that difficult time. But there again, it's so easy for us to focus on ourselves. And you know what? I'm saying things, everything I've probably said here this morning are things that you've probably heard before, many times. But I think God is a gracious God. He's a loving God. And He wants us to keep hearing these things over and over and over. We should probably call these times reminders, because I think that's what I've done this morning. It just reminded you who you are in Christ. You have been created by God. For what purpose? To bring glory to Him. How are we going to do that? Through the knowledge of Him. It's pretty simple. All of you, if you came here discouraged, you should not leave here discouraged. Okay? Because God is speaking to you. God is here and He's hugging you with His word, with His promise. And He's saying, I love you. I created you. Me. Not anybody else. You know, not anybody less. The creator of the universe. Sometimes I think we have to have those alone times. You know, it is beautiful outside. And it's not, I mean, it's cold, but it is gorgeous outside. And we all need to be out there and just enjoy the majesty of God. Because all of that is God. Okay. The man, the God who gave that beauty to us, that's the same God that created us. The God that created that loves us. The God that created us, all that beauty, it is gorgeous outside. That God knows us by name. He knows my name. That's pretty awesome. That's pretty amazing. And I think that it's so important for us to take advantage of these times and to just say, God, thank you, thank you, thank you. He's given that to us for us, you know. He didn't have to give us a beautiful day today. And even yesterday, as cold as it was and as snowy, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. Because the creator of the universe, our God, He was the one that created all of that for us. Okay? And when we start thinking and focusing on God and less on ourselves, I believe that we can become the woman that God created us to be. And wherever, whatever situation He takes us in our dorms or our studies, at work, whatever our situation is, He is saying to us, I love you. I know you by name. I know every thought that you're thinking, thoughts that you're not even able to share, whatever it is. And I just hope that we can really understand how great God is and how little we are. And I think that that was a thing for our Basodios. When we were teaching them, it was really important for them to understand how great God was. How great God was. Because for them, of course, they are animists, and they had so many things that were holding them in bondage, so many things that were keeping them in fear, that were chaining them to a life of just miserable sadness without hope. But then when they realized and understood who God was, it was just like amazing. And they received Christ. They understood who they were, who God was, and they received Him. That's where we are, ladies. I don't have to convince you about how great God is. But I think a lot of times we need to remember and remind ourselves about how great God is. Simple, simple. You know? And I think that every day there's life's challenges. And we tend to make, at least I'm talking for myself as a woman, I think I tend to make things a lot more difficult, a lot more complicated than it really has to be. You know? And my husband is so gracious to say, okay, honey, let's just pull this in, you know? When we have these little discussions and I'm about, what about this and what about this and what about this and this, we have to, you know. And I'm great at multitasking, so that's a little something that I can do better than my husband. But most times that's to my, you know, it's not always good. But I think, you know, Bob is just like, okay, let's get back to the basics. Pull it in here, honey, you know. At the end of the day, what is God? We are where God wants us to be. So what is God trying to tell us? You know? Let's understand. I'm going to make this poster or whatever. And it's going to say to my daughters, because they live in Pennsylvania right now in South Williamsport. Our youngest daughter moved to Pennsylvania. And now they live 5 minutes apart. Okay. And my youngest daughter is having a little struggle. Loving the fact that she can be with her sister after all of these years, but just struggling because they had great ministry with Muslims and just wonderful church and lots of friends. But God has truly led them to Pennsylvania. I'm going to make her a poster, and it says, "You are here." And I think I need to make myself one too. And I think that is something that God, probably in this last month, that's something that God has been speaking to me about, you know. You are here, Novi. And you don't have to worry about all of these other things that are going on and ministries. You are here, and this is where I want you to be, and I need to speak to you, and I need you to pull it in. Because not only in our location and accepting our situation, but for me, it was more about stop thinking and trying to manage your life and try to figure everything out, even just in your day. Like, we have a busy life, just like all of you do. And there's so many things, you know, going on, trying to do all of these things. It was just like when I was in the tribe, trying to be that good missionary, trying to do this and this and this and this. And God, as I say, okay, no, you are here. And this is my place, and this is where I want you to focus, because I need you to listen. You know, moms, and your moms probably did it to you, for those of you that aren't married, you know, when you're trying to talk, right? And we get to our kids, I know Kristen has done that. Okay, come here, Ivan. Come here, Sienna. Look at mommy. And just look at me. And this is what's going to happen. You know, I think that's what God is trying to do to us. I think that's the whole, you are here. Just like, okay, now we focus. You are here. I'm trying to speak to you. Stop doing everything else. Stop worrying about this or that. I want to speak to you. I want to teach you. I want you to take a breath. Because I need you to bring glory to myself. And you're not doing a very good job right now. I need you to bring it in. You are here. Focus. Let's talk. I want to encourage your heart. Because right now, that's what you need. There again, all of that is to say how crucial it is, women, for us to have that quiet time with God. And for all of us, it looks different, right? Whatever it is, however it is, it's not going to look the same for everyone, okay? Many of you don't have that time, half an hour in the morning or whatever. Half an hour at night or in the afternoon, however your schedules, whatever. I don't really care how you're going to do it or when or whatever. And God doesn't care either. He just wants you to do it. And so if you try to study God's word and it didn't work, well, then try again and try something else. I think in all of my years as a Christian, I have probably done more Bible study, you know, studies than I can. Yeah, I've done a lot of them. You know, I've tried different things, and then it kind of gets, you know, okay, that was really good. And I don't know, I've kind of gotten to the dump sometimes, you know, and it's easy for us to go through those periods of time and I'm like, oh, this is just not working, you know, in your seasons of life with children or school or whatever, you know, sometimes it doesn't work. And I guess all I want to tell you is that don't give up. If that didn't work, then try something else, you know. And I think that that's really good when you are able, as believers, you know, when you get together, you know, talk about those things, you know. I just met Amanda this morning, and she works with these college students. Talk about those things. Share ideas of how you're getting into God's Word. Those are the things we need to be talking about, people. How we can bring glory to God. And so one of the main things is to make sure that we're having those times in the Word. But share, give each other ideas, those things that worked and didn't work. But I think that that's the beauty of the body of God, of Christ, that we can do that. We have some really good, important things, valuable things that we can share with one another. Because our goal in the end, what? Is to bring glory to God. So do that. And make it a priority in your life to have those times daily. You are here. Focus. Whatever it is. Whatever it takes. You know, and I know I went through a long period of time where I just had to write it on the wall. You know, make a poster. Make, you know, post-it notes. However, girls, come up with an idea. Whatever it is, just do it. Okay, anything you can to keep your eyes on Christ. Reminders. I need reminders, and the older I get, I need a few more papers on the wall to remind me. For the longest time, when the girls were in high school, we had this little post-it note right as you went out the door, and it said, "Are you in fellowship with everyone in this family?" For a time, that was necessary. You know, that was really good because we wanted to make sure that we kept short accounts and we took care of different things. And through the years, God, the Holy Spirit, you know, prompted us to put different signs. Usually in the bathroom, those are good signs. I love it when you go to houses and they have, like, pictures, beautiful pictures. But I really love it when they have verses or a thought. You know, in this house that we're staying, what a gift, you know, from God. It says, love is here. Anything, you know, anything for reminders for us to focus on God. You are here. Speak to me, Lord, whatever it is. Ask God, and He will show you. So I think in closing, I just wanted to say that, being a missionary after all of these years, I look back at my life and I just think about the amazing things that God has done. And you know what? And when I really think hard, I remember some of those very, very difficult times that I really had to persevere. But those aren't really the things that I, you know, when I think about like Papua New Guinea and even in our times in Thailand, I don't think about those hardships. And I know those are great because I believe personally that the reason those things don't come to mind is because I'm not still there, right? Those aren't still difficult times. Those aren't memories that were really, really bad, that ended bad and were still bad. Do you know? God used all of those difficult times. And I think we came out like gold. And that's God's purpose, right? We persevered and we got through those difficult times. And I believe that every one of those times, I trust, and by faith I believe, that I brought glory to God. Eventually, when I finally acknowledged, okay, God, I cannot do this. In 1990-91, I had an emotional breakdown. I was trying so hard to be that perfect wife, missionary, mother, co-worker, and I was just doing all those good things for God. And I was at the point where I acknowledged that God was in my life and that what God was being able, God had given me all this ability and all this wisdom and all this energy to do all these things for Him, right? I knew that I wasn't able to do all these things without Christ. So that was, I felt like, okay, that's good. That was good, right? Wrong. Because through that time, what is the one thing that I forgot, that I didn't make a priority, was that time and fellowship with God. And to my shame, God continually over the weeks and months was trying to get me to, you know, look at me. You are here. I need to talk. We need to talk. And I am very ashamed of the choices that I made. And I look back at that and I am just so, I was so stupid. Like, I was so clueless. I was so, but God was so gracious. But what happened was, one morning I woke up and I couldn't move. Like, I couldn't move. And it was, I realized what was happening. At the time I didn't realize what was happening, but it was like really scary. I couldn't move. I could talk, but I could barely like even turn. It was, and it wasn't like it hurt to do it. I just couldn't do it. And right away, I realized that I kind of felt that, you know, the Holy Spirit doing that. But I didn't want to do it because I had a lot of things that I needed to do for God that day. We worked at a school. We had missionaries coming. And I said, this cannot be. And thankfully, you know, my mind was sharp and I could think. And I'm just like, and I remember at that point thinking like Jacob, you know, while I was wrestling with God, I did the Jacob thing. It was like, it was horrible. Horrible. And it was like several hours of fear, but mostly anger at God at what was happening. And after that time, I realized that God was saying, enough, Nobi. I don't want anything that you're wanting to do. All of that is not important. And it took a couple hours for me to finally feel that other precious hand of God and saying, look at me. You are here. You're not everywhere else. You have been, but you can't be anymore. You cannot. I don't want it, Nobi. I need you. I need your heart. And I need you to stop. And that was a really, really difficult struggle. And the only reason that happened is because I forgot that all our devotion on everything that we do has got to be for God. And sometimes we get off track and we forget that ends up being at the end of the day where it's all about us and it's not about God. Doing all these wonderful things for God is great and He loves that, but that's not His most important thing that He wants from us. He wants our hearts. Okay. We are created in the image of God. We are created to glorify God. I wasn't glorifying God. I was glorifying myself. I would never want you to go through that. And it took me like, I think it took a couple years actually to be able to get strong enough, seriously. And I mean, I went through, it didn't just happen after the end of 2 hours, okay? I was mad because I didn't think that God was fair because I had left my families and I was willing to go to these hard places. I was willing to trust you to do all these things and to make His name known. I was willing to do that, and there was not fair that I that God did that to me. So I was very angry for a long time. But there again, it wasn't until I realized, Lord, Nobi, it's not about you. It is not about you, and it's all about me. And if we don't, if you're not focusing on bringing glory to me, and the thing is, I really think that all of those things, I would have been able to do all of those things if my focus wasn't, it was on God and not myself, right? And I had lost that fellowship with Jesus. And I think God is a jealous God. He doesn't want that. He wants us to accomplish much and to do all these wonderful things, but not without acknowledging him in our lives. And if I've said anything, I just want you to understand, girls, that it's got to be God. You cannot leave God out of your life. You cannot do it. Please don't do it. Because you're not going to be happy. You're not going to be successful. You're not going to bring glory to God. If you stop that fellowship with God, learning through his word, through this time of fellowship, to be more and more like God. Remind ourselves, okay, when you're out there and enjoying this beautiful creation, remind yourselves that you have been created by this awesome God, and he knows us by name. And God, I want to bring glory because you created me to bring glory to him. I want to do that. Show me how I can do that. And acknowledging that the only way that I can do that, that any of us can do that, is if we really, really treasure that relationship with God. And your relationship with God, I'll tell you this, the only way that we can, that I can be here today is because of a relationship with God. Okay? That's the most important thing. If you have that relationship with God, you can go to the ends of the earth and you will be, if that is where God takes you, you will be in the center of God's will and you will bring glory, the most glory to God, and God is pleased. And when you do stand before God and he says, what did you do for me on this earth? We will bow our heads and we will say, Lord, we tried, I tried in every possible way. The times that I failed, you forgave me. But my desire was only to bring glory to you. That's what I want to say before God. Because when we say that, we will hear those words. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for being our awesome God. I thank you for your love, for your patience. I thank you, God, for creating us in your image. I thank you for each woman here. And I thank you for the women that you want us to be. And I thank you that you have given us everything that we need in Christ and the knowledge of you through your word to be like you. We can do this, God. Thank you for that reminder. Thank you for that encouragement. Help us, Father, to have those moments every day. Help us to remind ourselves. Help us to hear that voice that says, you are here. Help us to have times where we are just focusing on you in ways that we can't even believe. Thank you for what you want to do in our hearts. And Lord, again, I just want to thank you for these ladies. Thank you for this time. And thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray that you will make your voice loud in our hearts today. Every day, that you will make your voice loud in our hearts. So we will hear what it is that you want us to know, what you want us to do, so that we can be more and more like Jesus, that we can bring the most glory to you. Make that be our goal in life forever and ever. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.